Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, and welcome to the Dudes on Hockey podcast. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dude, Vegas.
Vegas, dude, Vegas.
Vegas, dude, Vegas.
It's coming up. Yep. This weekend.
In 48 hours, we'll be in Vegas. When a lot of you are listening to this podcast, we'll be in Vegas.
It's true.
When the Sharks are in Buffalo, scouting their newest player, Steve Ott, will be in Vegas.
We'll talk about that in a minute.
Vegas. Dude. I'm excited.
Yes.
This is going to be an awesome trip. NHL is back. USA took a giant turd. And Vegas, dude.
Vegas.
Where do we start?
I guess we got to talk about the U.S. because there's only been like three NHL games, you know, in the last week.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, so how the mighty fell.
It was. So we were excited about Russia. The title of the last podcast was the U.S. is not overachieving, but, you know, the U.S. is playing better than expected. And then I exhibit some reservations about playing Canada. I get an angry tweet from a listener saying, dudes, they beat Russia. We're going to beat Canada. You know we are. And then what happens? We go out and we lose to Canada in a tough game, only 1-0. And then we just get absolutely hammered by the Finns. So, dude, what happened?
Well, dude, to put it bluntly, I don't think we beat a good team. I mean, I think that when we played two good teams, we lost. And
right.
You look at who they got through, you know, Russia ended up not being good at all. I mean, they bowed out before we did.
Mm-hmm.
Czech, not good. Slovaks, not good. Slovenia, not good. So, you know, the hardest one was Finland. I mean, that one, it's embarrassing what happened to them.
Oh, yes.
In that game. And the Canada loss, I don't know. I mean, I was hopeful they would win. I didn't expect them to win. I thought they played hard.
Right. It was a tough game. It was close throughout. It's only one goal.
It was exciting. I mean, probably as exciting of a 0-0 game you could watch for a stretch.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people all over Bylsma for his coaching style in that game in terms of playing it more conservatively.
It's hard to fault Dan Bylsma for this loss. I can't do it. I mean, Canada had the best defense in the tournament.
Yeah, you're right.
Maybe not the best goaltending. We found that against Finland. But we found certainly the best defense in the tournament against
Canada. You can't
take
anything away from Carey Price. I mean, like he was really good. All tournament,
yep.
You know, when he played. So, yeah, I don't have a problem with that loss. I mean, like that, you know, Canada was the best team.
They were.
They walked in and just spanked Sweden, you know?
Yeah, they did. And I thought the Swedes might have been the best team there. And they beat Sweden.
Yeah. So, you know, Canada, clearly the best team. U.S. gave them a good run. And then, I don't know, should we be shocked that they had such a letdown against Finland? They clearly weren't. After the first 10 minutes.
Right. It was kind of over. Right. They gave up two goals in 20 seconds or something.
You could feel that they just weren't there.
And that was kind of it. They kind of felt like, okay, this isn't ours now.
The Patrick Kane missed penalty shot.
Both of them.
Oh, yeah. Both of them. You know.
Yeah.
That's death, dude. Disappointing. But I don't know. Like I said before the beginning of the tournament, like I was over it pretty quick. Certainly, I didn't feel as bad as I do after the Sharks lose a playoff series.
Right.
I feel a lot worse about that.
I mean, you know, of course you want the U.S. to win it all. Of course you want the U.S. to win gold. You want them to beat the best teams. But after seeing these other teams play and the way they played, I felt the U.S. was around the fourth best team in the tournament. And that's where they finished. So, did they overachieve? No, but they certainly didn't underachieve either. I mean, if they lost to Russia and had trouble with the Czech Republic, they could have gotten a tougher seed in the prelims instead of the bye that they got, and then they would have played Finland or Sweden and probably lost, and then they never would have been even in a medal round. So, yeah, they played as well as they should have played, and I thought they got beat by better teams every time, and they beat teams that were better than them.
I think the I always want to say the Sharks.
Yeah.
I think the U.S. in a different situation, if they had played Finland before they played Canada, I think we beat Finland. I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that they were so disappointed.
Yes.
And mentally exhausted from that game that they just they couldn't check in for it, which is disappointing to see from professionals who should know how to deal with stuff like that.
Dude, who's texting you? Is that Dan Bylsma? Dan Bylsma's texting you.
Dude, it is Dan Bylsma. He's okay. He's on the phone. He wants to talk about me taking Kunitz's place. What a great pick, by the way, for the team, right?
He scored the gold medal game. That's everybody's trying to use that as the savior. Hey, he scored.
Dude, you know, right. I mean,
you're
whatever.
Right, though. I agree with you. I think there definitely was a letdown. That was a huge disappointment to lose to Canada. They weren't necessarily in the game against the Finns. They scored a couple breaks, went against the U.S., and then that just took all the wind out of the sails of the USA, and they were never in the game after that. And then the Finns, as they should have done, they ran up the score on the back of Teemu Selanne, who is now 87 years old, and they earned the bronze medal. And you're right. I think if the games were swapped in terms of us playing the Finns in that semifinal round, we might have beat them. But I'm not so sure because they had the best goalie in the tournament. So who can steal games basically at will? Tuukka Rask was awesome.
Yeah. We were worried about that from the start.
Yep.
You know, I think every team was worried about facing them. And we happened to draw them in the middle game and lost, dude. So moving on. I'm over it.
Yeah, we're over.
Although, you know, I think a major topic, obviously, is what's the future of the NHL in the Olympics based on some of the injuries that are coming to light. We're right. seeing in tomorrow night's game, Sharks in Philadelphia. It appears that all of the Sharks players will play. Timonen's not going to play. He's too tired.
Okay.
He's not playing tomorrow night.
Right.
So, I mean, Flyers fighting for a playoff spot, mm-hmm. and Timonen, their best defenseman by a country mile,
yep.
is not going to play. So that's tough. Carey Price is out the first two games for Montreal. Kessler appears to have a hand injury. But we know Tavares is out
yeah.
for the rest of the season. Luckily, he doesn't have to have surgery, but he's out. Some of these guys have come back. They're too tired to play.
Zetterberg.
Well, Zetterberg with his back surgery, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
God, Detroit's just screwed, right?
Yeah, they're screwed.
So I think the injuries are injuries. That's going to happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just bad luck. It's the exhaustion that we're seeing from some of these players that now all of a sudden come back to their professional teams and they can't perform.
Mm-hmm.
That's where this might become a bigger problem, dude.
Yeah, and especially the John Tavares thing. That you know, you have a star player, a marquee player, going to miss the rest of the season. It would have been worse if you played for a bigger team. You know, we saw some choice words from Garth Snow in the press, which is sort of his duty. He sort of has to drop, he has to trot out that line saying, I don't understand why we let these guys go for free, blah, blah, blah. You know, I get that, but still, the world stage is a big one. I want to see NHL players. I think everybody else does, especially it was a huge issue for Sochi in particular. I remember Alex Ovechkin a few years ago saying, well, if they won't let NHL players go, then I just won't play in the NHL. Like it was that big of a deal. I don't think necessarily the South Korean team is going to be as strongly worded, all the South Korean players in the NHL. But still, I think it's a worthwhile endeavor for NHL players to go. And I wish, you know, the GMs and people would just sort of suck it up and take it for their country, you know, their home country or whatever, and understand that this is sort of, in a way, bigger than the NHL, at least for 2 weeks. You know, there's a lot of people who never watch hockey during the Olympic Games. And if we went back to college players, I don't think that would happen.
Well, maybe Garth Snow should take a little bit of a longer look in the mirror and realize what a bobo he is for making that Vonick trade, you know, instead of running his mouth about the Tavares thing. I mean, It could have happened to anybody. That could have happened to Marlowe. That could have happened to anybody.
And it could have happened in his favor. It could have happened to the Rangers. What if the Rangers, what if Rick Nash got hurt?
Well, nothing's in their favor. The Islanders are dead. They're dead in the water, dude.
I understand.
They gave their first round pick to Buffalo.
I know.
Dude.
Yeah.
League of morons. I mean, just so stupid. For a team that we both thought might improve this year, God, they're just so mismanaged. Anyways, not enough Islander talk. I do worry more about the exhaustion factor. We haven't heard about any of the Sharks players not being able to play tomorrow night. They're too tired, or they're too jet lagged, or they're not, you know, physically able to play. It sounds like Marlowe's ready to go. It sounds like Vlasic's ready to go. Niemi may play tomorrow night. He may play Friday in Buffalo.
Right.
And then, of course, we have our Olympic stud, Joe Pavelski, who played well.
Yeah,
he played well over the Olympics, right?
Yes.
And it appears that he'll play. And even more importantly, Logan Couture back. Rafi Torres
back.
Back, dude. Yeah. Back. Back in the saddle.
So excited. We have no idea how effective he's going to be. You know, certainly the coaching staff and the GM is trying to sort of soften the blow in case he doesn't look as sharp as he looked when we got him a year ago, which is to be expected. The guy hasn't played since the preseason. So, but you certainly expect that energy to be there. Maybe all, you know, the puck poise and the touch won't be there, but Rafi Torres will be there, and thank God we can really use him this time of year.
Yeah. I mean, he adds to the depth of this team, and he added a different level of competitiveness. Just his presence on the ice.
Right.
And that last quarter of the season last year when he was around, the team played differently. So we'll see. I mean, we'll see. It's actually a perfect test against the Philadelphia Flyers to see how the Sharks come out of the gate, because this is a perfect opportunity. The Sharks playing a average team without their best defenseman. First game back, getting a bunch of players back. The Sharks should be riding a high. The Flyers could be just kind of, you know, want.
Mm-hmm.
Starting on the road probably is an advantage, I think. You know, you're maybe getting a little bit more refloat focused, not coming out stale.
Right.
I think the Sharks have the opportunity here to get off to a real nice start. Even though Buffalo tonight just beat Boston. I mean,
what the hell?
Whatever. And I think, did they win last night too? They did. I mean, so Buffalo on a winning streak as we're coming to town. So it's still an opportunity for the Sharks to kind of get back on track. And the most important thing in these last few games are stay ahead of the Kings.
Yes.
Stay ahead of the Kings. You got a 12-point lead on them, right?
Yep. You got to stay ahead of the Kings, and you got to stay healthy. Those are the two things the Sharks got to do.
Right.
And see if you can tune up Couture and Torres and keep this lineup healthy with no more casualties.
Speaking of health, it looks like Brad Stewart is out for a week or so. And also on the health front, a little bit of a nugget today. Guess who is on the road trip?
I saw Thomas Hurdle is on the road
on the road trip. Now,
they say let's not get ahead of ourselves. First time.
Skating for the first time, but he's on the trip. I mean, so he's not going to play on this trip.
Let's not
confuse this. But the fact that he's even there, the fact that he's around the team, I don't know. Like, it makes me feel like, is it impossible that Tomáš Hertl, they've never come out fully and said he's out for the season. Have you ever heard those words?
No.
So is it possible Tomáš Hertl could be back in the playoffs?
It's possible.
Yeah.
But let's keep in mind that Rafi Torres was skating months ago, and he's only coming back now.
Right.
And he had a serious knee injury as well. So just because...
But we don't know how serious this knee injury was.
Well, they said it was torn MCL, not ACL, MCL.
Big deal.
Okay, doctor.
Oh, well, I mean, I thought that was interesting. I just thought it was interesting that they had him out on the trip. They have him around the team.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's good. It's probably good for him anyways, even if he's just not coming back this year, just to be around the guys and not just sitting at home isolated, you know.
You know, taking other, you know, Jager-like pictures with his girlfriend.
it's probably important for him to still continue to feel like he's a part of this team, you know, because he is. He's a huge part of the future of this team. Matt Tennyson up, dude. Bracken Kearns on waivers.
I have to say it, dude. They released the Bracken.
I was waiting for that. Thankfully,
yeah,
he was not claimed. So Bracken Kearns is still Sharks property, playing in Worcester around, you know, a good player to have come up in the playoffs as a black ace like he did last year and actually ended up playing, dude. Are you taunting me with your Southwest Airline ticket, dude?
No.
You're taunting me.
Dude, we're going to Vegas. You're going to
Vegas. Dude, we got some questions?
Yeah, let's see here. I'm looking at the dates and find out when we did stuff.
Yes.
Oh, so we got an email from the UK.
Yes.
And he's basking in the Olympic curling silver and bronze from the UK. You know how many curling games I watched, dude? I watched a lot of curling. I didn't watch
a single one.
I watched the gold medal game for both men and women's. I saw the bronze medal game for both men. I watched a hell of a lot of curling. All right. So let's see. Some Ducks All Tires from consistent shifts in the Finnish anticlimax coming back post-Olympics. Is there upside here? I know Perry and Getzlaff played a lot. Do you think the Ducks might see a bit of a meltdown? We had Cam Fowler there. Hiller obviously played for the Swiss. Perry and Getzlaff were there. What do you think, dude? Are the Ducks going to be suffering any more than the Sharks might be suffering? Or is this a wash?
No, I think it's kind of a wash. I mean, you know, we talked about the Sharks having an advantage maybe starting on the road. I mean, we'll see. The Ducks have, a long homestand to start. I think a five-game-plus homestand to start.
Okay.
So is that a good thing? Or is that going to just be complacency, you know?
Could be.
For a team like that, I mean, they get to start their post-Olympic break with the Blues at home on Friday. So that's not going to be fun.
What's the line on that game?
I'll tell you what. We'll be taking the Blues because I'm not taking the Ducks.
Yeah,
dude.
Yeah. We could probably... You think we can get underdog money on the Blues? We can get underdog
money.
Absolutely, right?
The Blues, I bet, in that game, if I was going to guess, would probably be plus 125. It's too early. Line's not going to be up yet, dude.
Oh.
It's not going to be up yet.
I was turning this into...
Another game that we'll have the ability to bet on is Minnesota and Vancouver, and I'll tell you what, I'm thinking about the Minnesota Wild in that game because Vancouver, no Ryan Kessler, and not only is he hurt, but did you hear today that he says he wants out?
Kessler?
Out.
Hilarious. He wants to go do his beach ball impression someplace else.
Any lines here, dude? Oh, there are lines. Look at this.
St. Louis, Vancouver.
Oh, no. That's tomorrow.
Okay, so.
But that was tonight. Is that tonight?
Yeah.
Oh.
It must have started already.
No.
But minus 140 for St. Louis.
On the road.
On the road in Vancouver. So they're going to be a bigger dog than that in Anaheim, right? Way bigger.
Remember, minus, dude, is means your favorite.
Why do I always get that wrong?
I don't know.
I get that wrong every single time.
You do get it wrong every time.
I know.
The Ducks, because of their home dominance, because they're going to be the favorite team, but it's going to be close.
You think it's going to be like you think it'll be like plus 115
or something? Closer to this line that we're seeing up here at the top with the Colorado at home against the Kings. I'm still going to say I think the Ducks will probably be a minus 130, minus 135. I think we could, if we like St. Louis in that game,
we get
probably
plus 115.
Yeah, 115, 120. I think we probably could get a decent side on that. You know, I mean, and you might be able to get an over-under in that game that you like, too. It's possible
you
might bet on the over in that game, just thinking that the goalies aren't either going to be tired or rusty.
I'm not going to bet on an over with the Blues. I can't bet. They can't score and they don't give up.
But they're playing against a goalie that just, is probably tired. I mean...
Yeah, he wasn't in the medal round, though.
Yeah, but he just flew across the world.
Yeah,
I don't know. We'll see what it is. I mean, if it's 4.5, I mean, you might be interested.
It's true.
School 5 goals.
Yeah.
Anyways, we're totally off topic.
No, we're not.
What the hell are we talking
about?
This
is exactly the topic, dude.
It is?
We were talking about, you know, post-Olympic slumps.
I think it's a wash for everybody, really. I mean, it depends. I mean, teams were hurt by injuries. As far as we know, the Sharks not hurt by injuries. I do think starting on the road is not a bad thing for them.
Oh, the Kessler thing. One, you think that has anything to do with Tortorella?
Of course it does.
Everybody wants out now.
They're the torts a mess. Is so great. That's a mess. Yeah. It's a huge mess over there.
David also has a crazy trade. Markov from the Canadians to help with DB22 for Shepherd, Havlat, and a pick.
David.
Come on now, man. I love the Sharks, and I want them to get good players, but there is no team that would ever make that trade, ever. Even if they were on PCP and Ludes and
yeah.
Even Beetlejuice on PCP and Ludes wouldn't make that trade.
No one's going to take Havlat. I mean, no one's going to take Havlat. I've seen that thrown around a few times on Twitter and a few emails. This Havlat pipe dream of anybody wanting Martin Havlat, it's not going to happen. No one wants him. It's just the same reason why we don't want him. He's not a good player anymore.
He's not. And it's very possible, even likely, that he'll fit better on another team.
Sure.
Even if you accept that, which no one's going to accept as gospel, even if you think that and you're optimistic about it, the fact is the guy's got a terrible injury history and he makes a ton of money.
Right.
Those are two things. Even if he was a very, very good player that was almost a lock, you still wouldn't want to take a flyer on Martin Havlat because of what I said. He's making $5 or $6 million next year and he can't stay healthy. That's not in the cap era. That's not good times.
Dude, I had tweeted at Cap Geek earlier today because I had a question about the Sharks cap situation. Right now on Cap Geek, they have us listed as having about $2.7 million of room, but that was without Torres and Couture being activated. And there's been a lot of trade talk around the Sharks, but I don't understand how the Sharks can trade for anybody. I don't think they have any cap space, period. I think they have none. Actually, I think it's even a worse situation than that.
Yeah.
They have no ability to acquire a player, and I didn't realize that was going to be the situation. So I tweeted at Cap Geek and said, you know, is there something I'm missing here? You know, because a lot of people are, I mean, even some, you know, of the so-called experts are throwing around players and Sharks, and I just don't know how that could even happen. So I said, with Torres and Couture off LTIR, San Jose Sharks have no extra cap room to acquire a player for a pick, correct? And Cap Geek says they don't have space to activate both of these players, period, according to our estimates.
Yeah.
So how the heck is this going to happen tomorrow, Jude?
I have no idea.
You know,
Brad Stewart's a lot.
Maybe Brad Stewart is going to go to IR. I mean, maybe that's.
But IR doesn't give you cap relief. Only long-term IR gives you cap relief. IR just gives you the roster spot.
So what are they going to do tomorrow, dude?
I think they have to shoot Martin Havlat in the head. That's a terrible thing to joke about, but it's slightly funny. Anyway, but it's true, though. I mean, what do they got?
They just brought up Matt Tennyson, who's eating up nearly $1 million in cap space. I don't understand. I don't know. There must be some way.
There must be something they know. Maybe Couture is not coming back right away. You think? Have they said definitely he's playing tomorrow? I don't remember seeing that.
No, but I just.
They might have other moves here.
Well, they got to make another move before the game tomorrow, according to Cap Geek. I mean, the numbers don't lie. I mean,
you
see the Sharks. If you go to the Armchair GM, if you look at this here, this is a fun feature that you see on Cap Geek. There's the Armchair GM, dude.
Yeah.
You see it at the, look right here.
Oh, okay. Got it.
There you go. We take a look here. It's a fun thing to do. I love to play with this and acquire some of my favorite players. So you see, if you look at LTIR and on the menu on the left, dude, if you go up,
yeah,
there you go. You activate Couture and activate Torres, and given the current roster, you know, you could see that the Sharks are $1.9 million in the hole.
Right.
So I don't really know how this works.
Yeah, we're just going to have to start throwing guys over the side, essentially. I don't know what we're going to do.
So I don't know. Obviously, there's something we don't know or understand, because there's got to be a way to make it work.
Yeah, I guess we're going to find out. I mean, my only guess at this point, it seems like Torres is playing. I haven't heard the same thing about Couture. They might keep Couture out a little longer. the other thing is, it looks like what? How many people do they have activated? That's 8 defensemen activated. I don't think they necessarily need Matt Tennyson.
Well, why is he there?
I have no idea.
They just called him up.
I don't get it. I don't know why. I think you have 7 on the roster with Stewart hurt, and you play without a reserve on the bench. They're on an East Coast swing right now. You can
right.
get Tennyson if you really
sure.
have
sure. That's why I don't understand why he's there. So, yeah. I mean, I don't know. Should we read the tea leaves? Is someone going away? Is Matt Irwin going to be traded?
It's possible.
That still doesn't even, but that doesn't even
doesn't
solve.
Even, it doesn't even solve the problem.
The problem.
Right.
I mean, really. I mean, then if you sent down Irwin and Nieto, you still don't solve the problem.
All right, dude. So we're going to do something completely weird for us. We're going to play devil's advocate right now.
Okay.
Let's say you're, you know, you're Gar Snow. Okay, you're a smart GM, let's say. not Gar Snow. You're, you know, Jim Neal for the Stars.
Okay.
And you say, okay, the Sharks are in a pickle here. Who do you go after? Are you going to try? I mean, we've seen Doug Wilson in this situation before, where he tries and to take advantage of a team that's in a bit of a spot. The Sharks appear to be in a bit of a spot right now. My question to you is, who's vulnerable on this roster that we're looking at? Who's vulnerable here?
In terms of being cherry-picked
yeah.
by another team?
Yeah, if someone's going to pick somebody off. I mean, we saw, for instance, Fraser McLaren get picked off of waivers. Maybe they won't. I mean, I guess, you know, Bracken Kearns obviously is not part of the cap right now because he was sent down. But, like, who on this roster would a team want at this price and they might be able to get for a song?
Well, I mean, it's tough. I mean, I don't know if they would put any of these. Well, of course they would waive Martin Havlat, but we've already covered this.
Right.
It would have to be someone that was making enough money to solve the problem. And I don't really know who that is. I mean, I might have said earlier in the season that it's Jason Demers, but I think that is a different situation now.
Like, yeah.
Demers is playing extremely well. I mean, I think the person who's vulnerable is Matt Irwin, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think Matt Irwin at making $1 million is a player that, although it doesn't solve the problem, it's a piece that maybe he is someone who's available for cheaper. I mean, do you have other ideas? I don't see them parting with a veteran piece, you know, unless someone wanted Tyler Kennedy.
Yeah, but we need those wingers. We don't have anybody right now to fit those slots.
Right. I mean, Tyler Kennedy makes that money that solves the problem. I mean, and he's been disappointing.
I don't know, dude. I don't know either. I'm looking to see who might be vulnerable. And, I mean, I guess the Sharks either will do something tricky. I mean, there could be some players that, I mean, it's not really going to help you, but Tommy Wingles? I mean, you know, these are players that are valuable. But
no. Wingles is exactly the kind of guy. He's making no money.
Yeah.
He's been very productive this year. He's finally kind of turning into what you hoped he would.
Mm-hmm.
I think if there's a roster casualty that could get given away for a cheap price, it would be Tyler Kennedy. Because his money solves a problem.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But it doesn't really help the Sharks. Damn you, Martin Havlat. I mean, you're really screwing so much up.
He really is. I mean, he's a $5 million cap hit that's sitting on the frigging bench.
And the other thing is, we may have just had a 5-minute conversation about nothing. Because maybe there's something that we don't understand. I mean, maybe you're right. Maybe Couture's not going to be activated tomorrow. Maybe the Sharks do have some sort of cap loophole that Cap Geek and the Shark and we don't understand.
Yeah.
You know, so we'll see. We'll find out tomorrow.
Yep. Dude, let me see where we are in the podcast. I got to see you. Because we had a long one recently. Oh, we're a little over 30.
We're almost done, dude.
Okay, we're almost
done. What do you got to do? Go to pack for Vegas?
Yeah, I got to do that. Pack the right pants. Dude, we got this email from this guy that runs a site. I'm not going to say what the site is right now because there's no reason to give this guy just a random plug. But it's a website that allows fans to create and listen to real-time discussions and commentaries for televised sports, which I found is sort of an interesting idea. So the theory goes, you know, I thought about this actually years ago, you know, because as a person who talks into a microphone, you know, for free, essentially, you think about, oh, what does it take to be a play-by-play guy? What does it take to be Randy Hahn or Dan Rusinowski? And you try to do it for 15 seconds, and you realize this is the most impossible thing I've ever tried in my life. This is impossible. How do you do that? How do you keep all those players straight and you keep the flow going? But it would be interesting to hear somebody other than those guys talking during a game. You know, this is a random idle thought that I'm sure more than just myself and this person has had. And so I guess this guy got some seed money to try this idea out, and they have a website where you can, well, we can log in to the website and fans can log in and we can have a conversation and we can sort of broadcast on the web during a Sharks game, like during an away game. You and I can log on, fans can log on, and we can have a live online thing. I guess listeners can type comments, so we can invite them onto the show for a time, and then we can kick them out if they're annoying or something. And so is this something that you would want to do, dude? Does this sound interesting to you, or is this, do you think, just going to be something that we would suck at?
No, I think it would be fun. My first reaction when I, because we've encountered this too when we've watched games together but not in the same space, is that not everybody sees the game in real time. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, even if we were watching a game where the puck dropped at 7:30, if you were watching on HD and I was watching it in standard and right. you had Dishnet and I had AT&T Uverse, not everybody's going to be the same. So we may be making comments on something that someone's watching on a 10-second delay.
That's true.
And I would turn it right off. I'd be like, screw you guys, you're ruining the whole game.
Right.
So it's like, it's almost like it only works for people who are watching on the same delivery format. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even if you're watching a game online overseas, like, you, it wouldn't work.
Probably
it seems
not.
Tricky.
You're right. And I guess if you tried to do a play-by-play type of conversation, if we were trying to comment on every little thing that happened, then you're right. If you're 2 seconds off, that's a huge problem. Actually, as I'm sure other people did, I watched some of the U.S. game while I was at work, because it's, you know, during work hours. And so I was actually IMing with a friend of mine at the time. And, you know, I was multitasking. I had one computer I was doing work on. I had the other computer had the game on. And then I was IMing. I was doing awesome multitasking. But sometimes he's like, oh, damn. And I'm like, what? And then I see something happen. And I'm like, oh. You know, and we were both looking at the same stream from NBC.com. You know, we were looking at the same thing, and we were still like seconds apart. So I think we'd have to sort of talk in a way that we weren't just, the whole stream wasn't just immediately us reacting to the thing that just happened a second ago.
Then how is that different from what we're doing?
This is a good point.
You know, like, I think the point would be us commenting live on the hijinks and shenanigans of the Sharks game.
Well, should we kill this whole idea before it even starts, or
no.
should we try it out?
No, I want to try it. I wonder.
Maybe for like one period, not
yes,
a whole game.
I totally agree with you. One period and see what people think. I mean, I don't know. We've tried to do some, you know, community events before that it hasn't really gone
yeah.
that well. I mean, I think with our podcast, everybody, you know, consumes it on their own time. So,
right.
But maybe if we're all watching a game together, you know, people would be into it. So,
you know, if we picked a game at the right time, you know, not like an East Coast game that has like a 4 p.m. start.
Yeah, a
you
night
know,
game.
We picked a night game, an away game that was on the West Coast, that was at a reasonable time, or on the weekend. You know, maybe people will be willing to log in and sort of interact with us, because we could bring you on and you can talk to us, and we can bring you on and you can say stuff and we can all sort of interact. And then, you know, we can do that with multiple people. That
yeah.
might be something listeners will be into.
I'm not meaning to, you know, downgrade their idea. I think it's
yeah.
fun. I worry about that part of it, that I know I get irritated. Like, I'm getting texts right now
yeah.
from people who I know are watching a show that I'm DVRing right now.
Yeah.
That I know someone who's on the current season of Survivor.
Oh.
And so I'm taping it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm also on this text
yeah.
stream
yeah.
that's going right now, and I know they're watching it live, and I'm not.
Right.
And I can feel the vibrations. I know something's happening. So I don't want to have that experience for people who are watching the game.
Right.
Know?
Well, I'll put it as the poll question. If we get enough listeners to say, yeah, this is something I would be into checking out, I'd be into participating. Maybe I wouldn't be into participating, but I'd be interested in hearing you guys talk about the game as the game is happening, you know, for a period, for one period.
Right.
You know, in the next few weeks, you know, we can try it. And if you're into it and we get enough people that are into it, then we can definitely do it.
Absolutely. Do you know that once it's been... Is it recorded?
Yes.
So people could listen to it after the game's over.
That's true. I believe that's the case.
Okay. Well, that might be fun too.
Which actually, that could be the most boring thing in the world because supposedly we're reacting to stuff we're watching on TV.
I know, but...
We're like, here's the whole audio. Whoa.
Oh.
Dude. Whoa. Dude, Demarius, you suck.
Back what? And guns.
Wait, what? Oh, God, Avalanche. How could you? Oh, 30 minutes
See,
of
but
that?
It can't be like that.
Yeah, I know.
It wouldn't be like that.
Yeah, yeah.
We'd be having... Dude, we do this when we watch a game anyways. We just have a running dialogue the whole game.
Yeah, it'd be fun to have a running dialogue that other people could be...
And then people could listen to us eat the buffalo chicken pizza, and then...
Yeah, we're like comment with our mouths full. That'd be awesome. Oh, awesome
buffalo
radio.
Chicken pizza is so good.
What kind of chicken dishes do you have?
Chicken hoagie?
Chicken salad. Chicken hoagie. Okay. I think we're done, dude.
All right, dude. Well,
I'm ready for Sharks hockey again.
Yeah, well, we'll see it tomorrow night, dude, and we'll see it in Vegas. The first thing we'll do when we get off the plane is we'll take the cab to the hotel, walk right into the sports book, tell the girls to go upstairs. We'll see them at dinner. And we're going to watch the Sharks and Buffalo in the... Sportsbook, dude, and we will have a beverage.
And we'll be tweeting about... I'm going to put the poll question up about this whole radio thing, but if you have good ideas for what we should be betting on in terms of NHL games,
please,
we'll be tweeting all our bets, so follow our Twitter stream, which is, of course, Dudes on Hockey. And we'll be back again next week with news of the Sharks' first games after the Olympic break.
All right, dude. See you in Vegas.
Vegas.
Show? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.